Hello, great minds. I'm here recording, and so that definitely means that it's probably time for Drinks with Great Minds in History. So welcome to the show, everyone. As always, I'm your host, Mr. DJMH, otherwise known as Zach DiBacco, and today we are going to get the season showcase started as we introduce the countdown and all it will be. Now, I figured that before we jump right into the countdown, I would break down the plan for you a little bit, plus toss in a little history for you and a fun drinking fact for me that I never knew, as it is some drinking for me. And to toast and christen the countdown, I had to have myself a Guinness. Believe it or not, I have never had Guinness on the show. It's not a go-to of mine, and I used to never really like it much. But today, maybe, just maybe, it'll be different. So let's get to it. A short introductory episode as we bravely go where no great mind has gone before, into the DGMH countdown. But first, it's some history for you, a reason to drink for me. It's the history of the great minds that made history come to be. Manscaped ad. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men 15 to 35. And unbeknownst to me, thanks Manscaped, for clearing that up, April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. Our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Just visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how you can check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use the promo code DGMH at checkout for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With that in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products you buy and use every day, like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. And it makes sense, right? We use these products in our daily trims to maintain our, well, you know, but still. And there's no better way to trim than with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It features two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade for a smooth, sleek finish. And I gotta say, it's the SkinSafe technology that really does it for me. Haven't seen a better razor out there. Also, don't like a mess? This thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the tub. If you're from Florida like me, shave in the ocean for all I care. I wouldn't, but you can. And you can bring this trimmer with you wherever you go, too, thanks to its wireless charging capabilities and travel lock feature. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. And that is why Manscaped will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. So support Manscaped and you can help save lives and other parts too by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab the best grooming products that are out there with 20% off and free shipping using code DGMH. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping at checkout with code DGMH. All right, countdowns. They are an essential and simultaneously miserable and exciting part of every life on the planet. Teachers, we fucking love countdowns. 196-day school year, that fucker starts ticking down at day two. I mean, we count down to Christmas, Easter, spring break, summer vacation, hell, we even count down to Labor Day, and that's like 2 weeks after the first day of school. Now you may be asking, why do teachers have so many fucking countdowns, Mr. DGMH? Well, my beloved listeners who don't teach, that is because it is fucking exhausting, draining, belittling, and far too often fruitless. Don't get me wrong, I love teaching. Most teachers do, but it can really chip away at your soul. Plus, parents tend to hate you, the admin tends to gaslight you, and the districts only care about the data. It can be very dehumanizing, demoralizing, all the while half the kids aren't deodorizing. Still, it is worth it. To teach the young minds of America, to make them appreciate the things that you appreciate, it really can be quite fun and at times the best jobs in the world. At times. But that's enough about teaching. Let's talk about countdowns. I mean, countdowns are used to launch shit into space, to tick, 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 tock toward the very end of the world every 5 years or so, and even ring in the new year each January, at least in the United States, and of course other parts of the world too. But some of my favorite countdowns have been the ones where uncertain doom is no doubt waiting for you at the other end of zero. Yes, from Y2K to hurricanes making landfall to the tsunami that hit Hawaii several years ago while I was on vacation, no lie, it was like watching Rocky New Year's Eve coverage as the clock just kept counting down until impact. Luckily, it wasn't that bad, but it is unnerving. and we still do it all the time. And then there's the fun countdowns, America's Top 40, Billboard's Top 100, the miserable fucking podcast charts that are so rarely including this show. They tell us what we should like, listen to, and ignore, except my show. Listen, share, spread the fucking word. But why? Why do we love countdowns? Well, I did my best to put on my Sherry hat and think about this psychologically. At least for fun countdowns, psychologists have pointed to the fact that beating the clock can push you through, pumping you full of that good kind of stress, while others do note that accomplishing something before the end of a countdown can give one a heightened sense of accomplishment. Sports, of which I know so much about, are centered around the countdown, around beating the clock, and the closer you cut it, the more enticing it is for the player and spectator alike. But our countdown will be nothing like that, save only for the excitement that will come with every big reveal along the way. Yeah, I fucking sold that, didn't I?
Oh, our countdown won't be exciting at fucking all. Please listen to my show.
Meh, it'll be fun. I'm sure of it. Either way, what are we going to be counting down to? The top? The end? The best? A new beginning? Or was it just that I was bored and wanted to try something new? Probably that last one. But still, I had one hell of a time figuring out what to talk about for today. Well, you know, the history part. The doomsday clock came to mind, the endless countdown that thankfully never ended in, well, you know, total doom, as the clock ticked closer and closer and closer to midnight with each event of the Cold War unfolding. Sometimes, it even counted the other way and got better. I don't know how the fuck that works, but still. I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. Then, as it so often does, fate stepped in. That is, fate and, you guessed it, beavers. Well, in this case, just the one Anglo-South African beer-drinking beaver. So let's look at a fun drinking story that showcases what I'm trying to say as we discuss the Great Guinness Toast. So the Great Guinness Toast is only one small part of our story for today, and we'll get it out of the way first. Basically, each year on the third Friday in February, people around the world raise a pint of Guinness in a toast in hopes of breaking the Guinness World Record for the largest recorded toast. And they pretty much break it every single fucking year. And if you're like me and thought there's no way Guinness and Guinness, the beer and the record book, are the same fucking thing, well then, like me, you'd be fucking wrong. Sort of. They basically are, or were, the same thing, but are no longer directly affiliated with one another. But let's wrap up the story of the toast first, which really fits, as the toast marks the official countdown to the next big day for Guinness, St. Patrick's Day. The toast is even said to have originated in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Mulaney's Harp and Fiddle Pub claims to have started the first Guinness toast in 1993. Now to the beaver. I can't lie. I assumed there was no real connection between Guinness beer and Guinness World Records. I didn't think there was any way that they could possibly be associated with each other. Not that I'm some avid reader of the Guinness Book of World Records. I mean, everything I'm about to discuss today might be included in the information on a dust cover somewhere for some reason. Still, beavers. So it turns out the Guinness Book of World Records, what was originally called the Guinness Book of Superlatives, was the brainchild of the then director of Guinness Brewing. His name, Hugh fucking Beaver. Okay, just Hugh Beaver, but still, it's me we're talking, I have to say fuck. He is a great mind in just about every sense, save being like the Titan of an age, but still. Born in Johannesburg, South Africa, he was a civil engineer that would serve in the Ministry of Works during World War II, and was knighted for his service in 1943. However, it was after the war that he joined up with Guinness, eventually serving as the managing director of the Arthur Guinness & Sons Company, that is, Guinness Brewing. And it was during his tenure at Guinness, while on a hunting trip where he and his friends debated over the speed of certain birds as they continued to miss shot after shot, that kind of created or begot the idea of the Guinness Book of Records, with the first issue being published in 1955. Although Hugh Beaver, which again is my new favorite fucking name, did not take on a direct role with the book, it was his brainchild, and Beaver would serve on the board. A board of beavers. What would they call that? Beaver's board? The Beaver Committee? I don't know. On an interesting connecting to the show Churchill side note, Beaver served as the chairman over power station construction in 1952, and would serve on the committee to deal with air pollution following the Great Smog of 1952. As chairman, his name was in fact associated with the committee. Yes, that's right. The committee to clear up that damned smog was called the Beaver Committee. And that's our short story on Hugh. Born in 1890, beavers died at age 76 in 1967. And in all that, we really did come full circle. Beavers, beer, and more beavers. But in all this, I have not answered the simple yet important question, what will our little countdown look like? Well, I'll tell you. It's going to start at the bottom five, as we showcase the lowest of the low great minds as decided by me. Love it, hate it, disagree with it? Well, by all means, do. Of course, all criteria must be considered: leadership, accomplishment, entertainment factor, show score, even shittiness. Everything has to be factored in here. From there, we will move into the not so shitty participation prize section of our countdown, the middling sorts that weren't so bad but weren't so great either. And after that, we will head into the just missed it weight class for those who narrowly missed the top 10. But then we enter the top 10 of our 24 great minds who are in the upper end as we count down 10 to 6 and then the top 5, creeping slowly towards our number one great mind on DGMH in a special showcase that will actually feature the top 3 great minds and a vote for the crown. But in between these episodes, your favorite guest and Luke will be invited on to tear apart my ranking system and just basically question everything I do. And that, my great minds, will be the DGMH countdown, planned to perfection, said the guy who wrote it all. Pretty buzzed. So let's wrap this one up. If you enjoyed this round of Drinks with Great Minds in History, then I hope you'll consider, you know, checking out the Patreon page. In fact, if you enjoyed this little thing about beavers, you'll definitely fucking love Patreon. We have all sorts of stuff over there, from bonus moments with Mr. DGMH and Cullen, bonus episodes on the 30 Years' War, a kind of deep dive, pregame content, what I'm teaching, Washington's words, and of course, Cullen Chats China and Pete Chats Portugal, where Cullen and I talk about history that we truly love. Now, as we wrap this up, I suppose I better rate Guinness. And I was sure to get myself a draft of Guinness at my favorite local Irish pub, the Celtic Ray. And I have to say, meh. Not the Celtic Ray, fucking love that. But Guinness, meh. I have never really enjoyed this beer, nor stouts, but to me, Guinness just doesn't have much flavor. This may cost me a listener or two, but I can't help that. Guinness is just not for me. I've had good stouts, I've had good Irish beer, and now I'm reminded why I avoided rating Guinness on my show. I don't like it. Two, for taste. That being said, my draft was very affordable. The prices at Total Wine aren't bad, but you do sometimes see it jacked up for price in certain bars. Still, I wouldn't necessarily say that you are overpaying for the name. If you like Guinness, it seems modestly priced in all the bottle shapes and sizes and can styles and drafts. So three for price. But with an already low score from Mr. DGMH, which I'm sure will cause some Celtic rage to emerge from someone somewhere, I will not be experimenting with Guinness again. Well, until I get drunk on St. Patrick's Day, go to London in June, or of course, finally someday visit Ireland. So until then, let's split the difference, if not for novelty's sake, at 3 points for an occasional seasonal possible return. Down the road, maybe. Yes, Guinness might have set the record for my lowest rated beer on the show. How about that for fucking irony? Not to mention generosity. 8 out of 18 points and 3 crowns. Well, that's it. From not knowing what the fuck I was going to talk about today to finding a new Anglo-South African beaver friend, even I was surprised where we ended up. But we made it work. See you next week for the start of the DGMH countdown to Great Mind number 25. Cheers!